Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Landon Tengwall. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Jim. Doing good. Excited to get into it today.
So am I. We've got lots to talk about. What I thought we'd do today, kind of a theme then this week's show, is going position by position, where I have questions for our analysts. I'd like to do that with you, go through each position group, and not just evaluate it, but go a little deeper, get to the questions that fit folks might have for that position group. Let's start with the obvious place. Let's start at quarterback. Drew Aller, it's really interesting in seeing some of the responses to him as we go into, have you seen any of these way too early 2025 draft forecasts? And I've seen everything from Drew Aller being a first-round pick to a listing of 10 quarterbacks, and he's not even on the list. First of all, before we get into his analysis of him, how do you justify this kind of disparity in the judgment of him?
Yeah, I think right now mock drafts, and even honestly until after next season, they can change so much. I mean, if you go and look even halfway through the college football season and look at mock drafts that were being put out by even reliable sources like CBS and NFL Network, I guarantee it looked nothing like the first round and how it actually shaked out. So I think there can be a lot of disparity between that, especially with quarterbacks, because you don't know, you're kind of going off their campaign from last year and all these NFL GMs and mock drafts. It's mainly going to be off how they perform this coming year. So I don't think you can put too much credence in that. But there are a lot of people that say Drew is absolutely not a first-round quarterback. And then there is people that are like, he could go first overall. So you're right. And that's just kind of the talk, not even talking mock drafts. So, I do think that this season could swing him either way. I do think this season could swing him to a top five pick who is a – prototype NFL 6'5 quarterback that can sling it, or, the other way where he doesn't even get into the first. I think that depends on a lot of things. And we have talked about this before. I've spoken on this. I think one of the big factors is his supporting cast. A lot of people were not happy with Drew's play last year, but what I will say is 25, 26 touchdowns, less than 5 turnovers. NFL teams, NFL GMs do like that. Coach Franklin likes that as well. Scoring touchdowns and taking care of the ball is always something that he can get behind. And we'll get to these other position groups, but I do think the big question marks for Drew is, can these guys help him out? Can his offense, and honestly, I think we know the wide receivers. I think we know what we have there. We've seen a lot of guys leave the portal. I don't think, and I'll get into that. I got my own opinion on everybody kind of freaking out about the wide receivers. My biggest thing is, and like I said, we'll get into this, but the offensive line. I think Drew's protection is going to be the biggest variable this coming season. I don't think people are putting enough credence in the fact of Hunter Norzad leading that offensive line, sixth year center, Olu Fashanu, the best left tackle in all of college football, and then Caden Wallace on the other side only allowing one sack and really locking down that right side after he struggled for a couple years and then ends up going in the third round. So you got a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and I believe Hunter was a fifth-round pick. So you just lost all those guys that the NFL clearly thinks are elite talents, good talents, and you're replacing them with sophomores and even redshirt freshmen. I don't think that is being talked about enough, and I know we have a lot of faith in Philip Trotwine. I do. He's done a fantastic job. He's a great recruiter, and he has really developed some guys. But I know we're talking about quarterbacks, and I'm going into the classic offensive lineman over here, but I really do believe that is going to be the biggest factor, because I will give this stat to you. When Drew Aller is moved off of his spot in the pocket, meaning when he drops back, if he has to move at all, if he has to run out of the pocket, if he has to step up because pressure, if it's not a clean drop back and deliver, he has a 66% uncatchable rate, meaning that the ball he's delivering doesn't even give the wide receiver a chance. So essentially when he is pressured, he is really bad. And just to tell you how that stacks up, that is the worst in starting quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Now, these are very, you know, detailed metrics. We're starting to, you know, the NFL and the college football have really started to get into these detailed percentages and metrics of, you know, moving off the spot and stuff like that. But I think that's a big factor. He didn't have to move as much because he had Olu and Caden really locking down those blind sides. Well, now it looks like you're probably going to have Drew Shelton out there at left tackle, who missed all the spring ball. Anthony Donka at right tackle, a really young dude. Those are not Caden Wallace and Olu Fashanu. So I think the biggest thing that people are going to not really be thinking about is his protection. I'm a little worried about it. These are guys I still have confidence in, and I think are high-level guys that have been recruited to help protect Drew. But I think from a standpoint of making sure Drew has time to deliver the ball, and then like I just said, I gave you that stat, he is just not too great when pressured. And I think we kind of saw that a little bit in the spring game. Now, there was obviously 30-mile-per-hour winds, but there was some bad misses too. And I don't know how many people that listen to this are all over Twitter, but there was someone that put out a cut-up of all his incompletions and PFF. It was a PFF guy, Pro Football Focus, and everybody was kind of dogging Drew. So he got a lot of hate and a lot of fleck in the spring game. I went ahead and spliced together some of his big completions, his touchdowns from the spring game. I quote tweeted it. I said, hey, let's tell the full story here. But I, you know, so there were a lot of people attacking Drew, but I will say from watching the tape of the spring game, there were some throws. Like I said, it was windy. I was down there on the field, but it did start to die down the wind. And there were some throws that were a little questionable from a standpoint of, you know, he had a little bit of pressure on him. And I mean, it was just completely uncatchable. So I really do hope that Drew is working on delivering those balls under some pressure on the run. I think that's something that he really needs to improve on. I will say when he's clean and he's in the pocket and he's protected, this dude can deliver some dimes. I mean, I do think that West Virginia week one Drew, he is absolutely there. We have that guy in him. But I think the biggest variable is just his supporting cast and, in my opinion, the offensive line.
Well, what's interesting when you talk about the statistic where he's under pressure, that kind of fits into the issue that I have is how he plays in the big games against Michigan, against Ohio State. And of course, it would be reasonable to assume he's going to be under pressure more often against Ohio State than he is against Akron. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, how does he perform in those big games? And if I'm a listener to the show and you talk about his supporting cast, it's how much of this though is on Drew and how much can he improve year to year in playing in those big games? And by the way, the way the schedule is this year, he doesn't have Michigan, but there are multiple, if not great teams, good teams where he's going to be tested more this season than he was a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jim. It's not as much, you know, normally it's two great teams and then kind of just some slack teams. Now he's got one great team, Ohio State, and then Washington, USC, you know, throw a couple other teams in there that are, you know, able to be an upset. And I think if you look at it just plain of a standpoint of, let's put Drew's supporting cast from last year to this year. I mean, I don't really know exactly. I mean, we can't say exactly how they stack up. I know for a fact the offensive line is worse. Are the wide receivers worse? I don't know. We really haven't added anybody. We took away Keandre Lambert-Smith, but I think if Trey Wallace can stay healthy, we saw what he could do in the spring game. That is someone who creates separation, can kind of go up and get a ball. He had a PI down at the at like the 2 or 3 yard line that easily could have been a touchdown. So I do think, you know, we have Tyler Warren, lost Theo Johnson. So, and then Nick Singleton, let's see. I think we know what we have in Catron Island. Let's see if Nick Singleton can bring back some of that freshman year hype to kind of help Drew out. But also the biggest thing, I don't really know if we'll talk too much, is Andy Kotoniki. Can he help Drew Aller out? Can he put the defense in bad situations? They've talked about it. We didn't see it in the spring game, but they talked about the fact of, hey, we are doing a ton of pre-snap motion. Like I said, it wasn't really shown in the spring game because you don't want to show all your cards. But what that pre-snap motion does is it puts the defense at a disadvantage. And you've started to see that in the NFL with Andy Reid and all these high-level, you know, Kyle Shanahan and those guys really trying to, you know, figuring out, hey, we have the ability to move guys before the snap. we can put the defense at a disadvantage too. And that is the kind of vibe that Andy Kotelnicki has to his offense. If you go and look at some Kansas tape, it is just chaos, putting the defense in the worst position possible and forcing them to do things they do not want to do. So it is also on Andy Kotelnicki. I think when we did the 12 most important people to Penn State football, I think I put him at number one. I think I put Andy Kotelnicki at number one. So there we go. I think that is the biggest factor in Drew. I'm talking about the offensive line, the wide receivers, the running backs. The number one factor is Andy Kotelnicki. Can he help Drew Aller out?
In the last 2 minutes that we have, and it's great that in this segment, it's great that you brought up Andy Kotelnicki because he fits into this next question. As long as we're talking about quarterback, how is Andy Kotelnicki going to use Bo Pribula?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw him in Kansas use a little bit of a two-quarterback system, especially when the second quarterback is very mobile. So I think that kind of works out perfect. And I think around not only the NFL but college football, these teams are starting to say, hey, if we have an athletic quarterback that's kind of this running back quarterback, wide receiver quarterback type build, let's get him involved. Let's do some trickery. Let's confuse the defense. So I do think we are going to see some two quarterback sets, get Bo in there, let him run the rock, because we have seen the spark that he provides when he comes in. A lot of times he'll come in late in the game too, or even in Michigan State where he comes in and it's like, this guy is getting 10, 15 yards a chunk when he's running the ball. Let's keep giving the ball to Bo. So I do think they're going to find ways outside of even just running Bo to get really creative with maybe some throwbacks where Drew throws the ball back to Bo and he can either take off or throw it again. We are talking about one of the most creative minds in college football with Andy Kotelnicki. That is what we saw in Kansas. I hope he continues it here. There was talk of Mike Yurcich being, you know, this huge explosive offense guy coming from Oklahoma State. We didn't see that. So I know there are some fans are kind of weary of hearing about, hey, this guy did this and what and this and that at the last school. He's going to be so creative here. Well, we heard that before. I do not think that'll be the case. I think from everything we're hearing, this is a completely new look offense and everything has changed. It was not the same with Yurcich after Kirk Soraka. So very excited. I think he's going to use Bo a lot and help Drew out.
All right, that is it for quarter number one. Guess what? There are some other positions on the field. We're going to talk about them when we get back with quarter number two. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Belante. He's Landon Tengwall. We are going through a positional review of the entire Penn State football team. And in quarter number one, we got through exactly one position, the quarterback position. But like you said, Landon, that's the important one. That's the one that people care about. And you alluded to it already in our quarterback conversation. There's a lot of depth with this offensive line, but you're replacing two pretty high draft picks at tackle. Number one, you know, Olufoshanu, a first-round pick. Caden Wallace, a pretty high pick. And by the way, also the center and Hunter Norzad was drafted. That's a lot to replace. Do they have the guys to replace those players?
I definitely think these guys have the ability. I think Coach Troutwine has recruited 5-star recruits. He is someone that can mold guys. We've seen that from Juice Scruggs to Rasheed Walker down to Olufoshanu and on. So I don't think the question is, can Trout get it out of his guys? My question is, week one, week two, week three, are they going to be ready to go when you have a second-year guy, third-year guy who hasn't had as much experience in you know, Anthony Donka, Drew Shelton, Nick Dawkins finally getting that start at center, but hasn't played a lot in his 5 years. I do think one constant, Sal Wormley, bringing back a 60-year right guard, I think that is big to bring back someone who is older, who is seasoned, who has played in all these games. That is nice to have. And then we on left guard, kind of a combo of Vangoane and JB Nelson, which we've talked about this previously, where I think we kind of see a three-man rotation at the right left guard spot with Sal Wormley, JB Nelson, and Vanga, just because being in college football for six years is rough on the body. So I do expect them to get some load off of Sal Wormley and look to get JB or Vanga over there and kind of, like I said, a three-man rotation where everybody gets a little bit. But, you know, there's just a lot of questions, and I think it's mainly a tackle. It is a little bit easier to disguise a little bit more problems at guard and center just because you're more interior, especially in pass pro. But when you're out there on an island at tackle and you are not able to lock down like Caden and Olu were, I mean, Olu zero sacks, Caden one sack. So from both your tackles in one season, they give up a total of one sack. I'm just being honest, that number is going to probably more than, I don't even know, quintuple. I love the guys, but they just are not, neither of them are first-round picks, right, first or third-round picks at this moment. So I just, you know, slightly worried about that. And then also the run game. I do think Anthony Donka is very physical in the run game, so I'm excited for him from that standpoint. But we need to get a good push from Nick Dawkins. Hunter Norzad was criminally underrated, especially in this wide outside zone that we kind of started to get to in the, towards the end of the season. He was really athletic. Hunter Norzad ran a really fast 40 time. We called him the Iranian prince in state college because this dude, well, you think, you know, he you don't really notice, but this dude could take off, and he actually, that's where he's from. So we always have a good laugh. We're like, dude, you are so athletic. And I think we're going to be, you know, Nick Dawkins knows what he needs to do. He is a leader, and he can handle that offensive line. But he also is not as athletic and cannot move as great as Hunter Norzad. So not only are, like I said, one sack between the tackles total, I think the run game where Hunter Norzad really impacted the guys, especially when we were getting outside. Hunter Norzad was also a fantastic puller, absolutely obliterated a dude in Ohio State game, kind of sets the tone. So I do think there's a lot of question marks, but not only protecting Drew, we need to get this run game going to also help the offense as a whole get going. Help Drew be able to rely on his run game and also be able to rely on that run game late in games when you are trying to close a game out, when there is 6 minutes left and you're up by four and you got to run that rock. You do not want to be going three and out and punting the ball. You have to be able to dominate up front. And I really hope this offensive line can continue kind of the tradition we've had of getting better each year these past 3 or 4 years.
Well, as I said, there's a lot of depth there. It's the question, can we get the right pieces out there on the field and get them that experience as quickly as possible? The other part of the offense that, again, the quarterback is very reliant on, of course, is the wide receivers. We all know the history. It's been disappointing the last couple of years. We know in the last week we had more wide receivers hit the portal. My personal viewpoint on it is I'm not concerned about the players that left. I'm not sure any of them were going to be a factor this year. But here's what we do have left. We have Julian Fleming coming in and Trey Wallace. I think those two, you can depend on them. Of course, Trey Wallace, the question is health. My question is, beyond those two, what do you have? And is there anyone after those two that you could depend on?
Yeah, I think after those two, and like I said, we still, and it's, you know, it's easy to say after those two, but one, Julian has never had to be a number one or even really a number two. He has always been the third or fourth guy at Ohio State because they are unbelievably talented. So I do think Julian needs to prove himself a little bit. And then, like we said, we know what we have in Trey. Can he stay healthy? So push that aside, though. Let's say both of them do what we think they can do. I think that we have some guys that are really talented that are a little inconsistent. Mainly looking at Amari Evans and Caden Saunders, both really fast guys. that have seen flashes from them, but we haven't seen them put it all the way together. I look for Kaden Saunders to be the guy in the slot this season. I think he had a really good spring game. We talked about it. I'm a big fan of his. There was a couple times he had a 35, 30-yard reception from Drew that was really nice. Couple times he beat his man and Drew missed him just by a little bit. Like I said, it was a really windy game. But he is one shifty dude, and the team, the coaches are really high on Kaden Saunders. So I would look for him to really be that big impact guy over the middle of the field this season. And then as far as kind of looking a little bit deeper, try to get Amari Evans, get some deep shots to him. We saw it at Michigan State. He is the fastest guy in that wide receiver corps. So try to get creative. And this is where Andy Kotelnicki, you know, jet sweeps, just get that speed involved in the offense. So I'm kind of excited to see that. And then I think we'll see a decent amount of Liam Clifford, who just always seems to get open, always seems to sit down in the right spot. You know, it's pretty reliable. I don't think he'll have a huge impact, but I do think he provides someone who's, you know, been here for a little while, never really been hurt. And, you know, it kind of seems like when he gets in, he handles his business. So, I don't think he's a number one or number two or even three, but he'll get in there and have a good impact. But I do think, you know, like I said, we kind of pushed it to the side. But the biggest question is, can Trey Wallace be healthy? If he's healthy, I think he is one of the better wide receivers in the Big Ten. And then Julian Fleming, what does it look like? You are finally in the spotlight. It's your game, man. It's up to you. You know, you're no longer the fourth wide receiver, you know, starting to see some action late, or if someone gets hurt, like, nah, week one, you're going out there. We're giving you 5-6 targets. Let's see what you can do with it.
And I'm a big Trey Wallace guy, too. I just feel like if he stays healthy, and I think it does work out well that Fleming and Trey Wallace, I think of as outside guys. Mm-hmm. Kaden Saunders seems to make sense as that slot guy. I'm hoping he makes everybody forget Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Yeah.
Let's go to tight end. Now, that's a position that has been so good over the years, and it just seems the pecking order. Everyone moves up one step as the top guy ends up at the NFL. Mm. You and I have both talked about Tyler Warren. You told me one of those things that I thought was one of the greatest compliments. I asked you who the best basketball player was on the team, and you said Tyler Warren. Let me tell you how I translate that. I translate that to mean the best athlete, okay? Because to have the skills on the basketball court, it takes that kind of athleticism. You don't typically think of that with a tight end. That's my long way of saying, okay, you've got this really great athlete at tight end. How do you take advantage of him?
Yeah, so I do think Tyler Warren is going to be one of the best tight ends in all of college football. I think he was, even though Theo Johnson was kind of ahead of him, it seemed like any time you threw the ball Tyler Warren's way, especially in the red zone, he was coming down with it. We call him Psycho T around the facility because he is the nicest, coolest dude ever, but he puts on the helmet and he is a different dude. He's a different guy. We saw in Michigan State in a couple other games, he will drive his man and pancake him out of bounds. So not only a sure-handed big target, and especially in the red zone, but also a fantastic blocker. And I think all that credit goes to Ty Howe, because I will tell you, when we first got here and Tyler Warren, when he was a young freshman in 2020, that was he could not block to save his life. So I think that's a credit to Ty Howe is going to continue to pump these guys out in the tight end room. And it's not just that they're recruiting great talents. The coaching is there too. I think this is another thing is, you know, it's on Andy Kotelnicki to make sure that the defense doesn't take Tyler Warren away and kind of game plan for him. You know, think of Travis Kelce, how the defense is. You think they'd game plan for him, but Andy Reid and the guys make sure to get him open and allow their best guy to get the ball. I think we need to kind of have that same mindset for Tyler Warren. These teams are going to try to take him away. We don't have a true proven wide receiver. They're coming into the game plan saying, hey, stop the run, take away Tyler Warren. So Andy Kotelnicki needs to make sure to find a way. Hey, we need to get this guy targets and targets where he is, you know, somewhat open. But we've seen he is just reliable. We saw what he did in the Peach Bowl with that ricochet, take it for 60 yards. You know, just someone who makes something happen. And we've talked about Drew Aller needing someone to make something out of nothing for him. So I think having that back is a huge plus. And then kind of looking at the depth a little bit, where we have always had a ton of depth. You got Khalil Dinkins, who I think is the number two. He had two touchdowns last year. Is really starting to come into his own as a blocker as well. Like I mentioned, a lot of these guys are coming in and they're not great blockers. Enter Ty Howe, former Penn State center. He's getting them right, Jim. He's got them in there. I mean, Brent Strange might be one of the best blocking tight ends I've ever seen. But put that aside, he is getting his guys right, man, and he's handling that. So these young cats are really learning how to block first. And then getting into the receiving game, which is huge because we love these two tight end, even three tight end sets down on the goal line where we have that wing T look. So, I look for Khalil Dinkins to be that number two guy. And then I think there's a little bit of a fight between Andrew Rapoyer, Luke Reynolds, a couple other guys to really see who's going to be that third guy and get a little bit of time, like I talked about, in those goal line situations. I'm pretty comfortable with Khalil Dinkins and how he has developed and how he has looked over these past couple years. Someone who's pretty explosive in the receiving game and kind of seems to get open a decent amount and then slip through. So I think this is the group, once again, that we have to worry the least about.
Okay, that is it for quarter number two. We're going to hit the running backs when we start quarter number three. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We are going through our positional review with the Penn State football team. In the first two segments, we got through pretty much all of the offense except for the running back position. So let's hit it. I think, Landon, the big question we have is about Nick Singleton and the explosive plays. We saw so many from him as a true freshman. We did not see that last season. And let's face it, essentially, Andy Kotelnicki was brought in to create explosive plays on offense. That will be a focus. My question to you is just exactly how does he create opportunities for explosive plays for Nick Singleton?
I think you look at Michigan State. How did Ty Howe and Coach Sider start to do that towards the end? It was get Nick Singleton the ball in space, like you said, whether that is put him out there at wide receiver. And they essentially did one of those, you know, we see ourselves do a lot of those wide receiver screens where we throw it out and there's a tight end or a wide receiver blocking for the other wide receiver. And Tyler Warren pancaked this guy. Nick Singleton took off down the sidelines for 60 yards. So I think we see that and even more creativity on top of it. I said, that pre-snap motion, some jet sweep stuff, even if it's a jet sweep fake, you know, that makes the defense have to react. If putting Nick Singleton in the slot and do that kind of jet sweep fake across the, you know, across the front of the line, those linebackers have to shift. They have to react. The safeties are going to react. There's a million different ways I think Andy Kotelnicki can do this. We've seen a ton and heard a ton about this, like, read option stuff. Drew is going to be pulling the ball. There's going to be read options with a pitch where it's almost a triple option where Drew can either hand it off, pull it, and then he has someone coming around him or he can keep it or pitch it again. So, like I said, this is all about putting the defense at a disadvantage and saying, hey, we know the play. We have the ability to do this. Let's take advantage of the fact that the football rules give us the ability to do this pre-snap stuff, to do these read options, these pitches. Obviously, Drew isn't the exact ideal guy for a mobile read option offense, but it sounds and it looks like that's what we're going to do. So, you know, I think, like I said, there's many ways to do it, but I think we're going to see a little bit more of that freshman year, Nick Singleton, than last year. Also, though, depends on that offensive line. Like we said, not only in the pass pro with allowing one sack between the tackles, they were some dominant dudes up front. Okay, can they continue to create that space and those holes for our running back? I put out a stat the other day from 2021 to 2023. The rushing yard average has went up exponentially. I believe it was around 100 yards a game in 2021. And up to 2023, it was over 160 yards a game. So can we, like I said, can that offensive line continue that trend? And that trend was with kind of all the guys that Kaden, Olu, Hunter, that was kind of the trend. Those guys came in and were working together. Now we kind of dip back down. Can Nick Singleton and Katron Allen still get those holes behind a young offensive line? The other dude I do want to talk about is Quentin Martin, who had two touchdowns in the spring game, and I think can be that third guy. And also, he played a little bit of slot wide receiver. They weren't exactly sure when he first got here where he was going to go. So I think, like I talked about, putting Nick Singleton in the slot. Now you have someone, Quentin Martin, who can also go in the slot, and you can get creative. You can do a wide receiver bubble screen. Like I said, a ton of orbit motions. I mean, there's a million different things that Andy Kotoniki can do with these guys. I don't think you put Katron Allen in the slot. That's a little bit of a different body. I think we know where Katron goes, but he can get creative with these guys. It's exciting, but I think, once again, I think it is being underestimated how much all these other position groups are going to rely on how this offensive line does. And I'm sure a lot of people are listening and saying, this guy's a former lineman. He keeps talking about the offensive line. But I really haven't heard much about it in like the mainstream Penn State media. There's not a lot of talk about the guys that we lost. And I think that will become more of a story as we get closer and people really start to realize it. But I guess just because I kind of have those goggles on, I'm just a little worried about the drop-off and how that affects other positions, quarterback, running back, you know, ability to give the wide receivers time, et cetera. But excited for Quentin Martin.
Well, to me, I understand the concern at the offensive line, especially a year ago you had returning tackles. Now when you lose both of them, that's going to have an effect on the team. We saw Anthony Donka in the bowl game and see how promising he can be. Same thing with Drew Shelton. But there's a big difference between that kind of potential and the reality of Fashanu and Caden Wallace coming back. And you did you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about a number three running back, and you mentioned it with Quentin Martin, that his ability to catch the ball. And I think people have to be careful, though, Landon, that doesn't make him a wide receiver. And getting the ball to your running backs through passes, a short passing game, it doesn't replace wide receivers. I think of it more as an enhancement to the running game than I do a change to the passing game.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there, Jim. It's, you know, Christian McCaffrey type, you know, none of them are that great receivers, but you start to see a lot of these NFL teams, they say, hey, we want our either our first or at least our secondary running back to have that receiving threat out of the backfield. I think we know what we have in Katron Allen, and he's not, you know, exactly a receiving threat. That is a guy who's going to go forward and have the best, some of the best vision I've ever seen, get you 5-6 a pop and then pop it off for 15 or 20 every once in a while. We need Nick Singleton and Quentin Martin. Those are the guys that can hit it for 60, 70 yard runs, like we talked about and like we saw with Nick Singleton early on in his freshman year. So can we get back to those explosive plays? You always hear Coach Franklin talking about explosive plays. That is a play that is 15 yards or more gained on the play. Penn State needs a lot of those in 2024 to really compete.
Okay, we spent plenty of time on the offense. Let's go to the other side of the ball, and let's go to the obvious question. Abdul Carter's making the move from linebacker to defensive end. How will he adapt to it, Landon? And what are the biggest challenges for him making that kind of move?
Yeah, I actually went, I looked, I broke down his film for the spring game, and I took an in-depth look. Really excited, explosive dude. He had two sacks. He had a really good TFL. What I will say about Abdul Carter is his hands are not there, and from a standpoint of rushing the passer. When he got to rush the passer this past year, it would be in that 7-up look from Manny Diaz where he got to move around a bunch, and he would try his best to not get touched. He would dip his shoulder, try to dip around. He did not want contact. He would try to slip around guys. That is not the game at defensive end. You need to be good with your hands. You need to be defined. You need to have pass rush moves. You need to have a plan. And there was a lot of stuff. And like I said, he had two sacks. He was going against a walk-on offensive tackle that was about 260 pounds. He will not see that in the Big Ten the rest of the season. So I will take his stats with a grain of salt. That, and like I'm just, you know, I like I said, I took an in-depth look at his film, and it's just his hand usage was not there. And it just wasn't, you know, you see these defensive line guys, Deesa Isaac and other dudes that have just these natural hands where they're just always swiping, or they know when to really feel that spin move. They can feel a guy's weight and say, hey, okay, I'm going to spin here. I know I'm going to rip here, like whatever it may be. I just don't think he has that natural instinct yet because he hasn't played defensive line at all in his career. He's been off ball linebacker for the most part. Now, if there was one person that can really make this change, it is him, because he is, saying all that, he is the most athletic and talented guy on the football field, bar none, when he steps out there. So he has the ability to do it, but I'm just a little worried about his just his defined pass rush abilities. Now, I don't think Chop Robinson had the best hands either. I broke down his film. It was all about his get off, and I think Abdul's going to play a similar game that Chop Robinson played, is when I get those sacks, I'm going to get those sacks because I whoop someone off the ball and I'm extremely explosive. And that's kind of what you saw with both of his sacks and even his TFL. I mean, he got a fantastic jump off the ball, and he's also just able to explode and put his body in positions that other dudes can't. So I still think there's that question of how is Abdul going to do at defensive end, but I think it's still the right move and a good move. And we'll talk about that when we get to the linebackers in a second. But I think this was smart and kind of fills a hole there where there was a little bit of a question mark. You look at Denai, headed into year three, had a great year two, even won us a game early on with that strip sack at the end. I think it was week two or week three. Really talented kid. But the question is now, he was that third guy. He didn't have that much pressure on him. He is now the guy. I think he is more the guy at the end than Abdul Carter is, just because Abdul needs a little bit of time to adjust. Can Denai come in and, like I said, really win us some games, impact the quarterback in the fourth quarter? That's where, you know, can he take that next step to being a first-round talent? I think we know he's going to be a very great player, but is he going to be elite or is he going to be very great? I think those are two different things. Jameel Lyons, extremely excited about him. That is someone who I was just talking about, Abdul Carter, isn't fully, you know, natural yet with his hands and doesn't have that natural D-end ability. Jameel Lyons has all of that. I broke down his film with Abdul Carter's film, and his hand swiping ability, his understanding of when to use a certain move, his ability of feeling up an offensive lineman's weight and saying, okay, I feel him going this way, I'm going to counter back this way. It was just very impressive watching him for a young dude, just coming into his second year this past spring. He gave Javon Williams a long day at left tackle. So that is someone who I'm really excited about, and being that third guy. And we talked about Denai, who was that third guy to a decent Chop. I think Jameel Lyons is going to be that third guy and be that dynamic pass rusher to come in to spell Abdul and Denai this coming year. And then the defensive tackles, 260-year guys, and Zane Durant. I think we kind of know what we have there. And that's really exciting that we got Devon Elise and Hakeem Beamon back. Because I don't think if they both left after their fifth years, I think there was a little bit more of a question mark there of who's going to really step up outside of Zane Durant. I've heard Tom Allen be very vocal that Zane Durant has took a big leap forward this spring. So I'm excited to see how he fares. But I think you got three older defensive tackles that are going to hold it down in the middle.
You know, I think it's interesting, Landon. We spent a lot of time on Abdul Carter and the rest of the defensive end. And the defensive tackles in the last minute of the segment, it's like, oh, by the way, they're going to be solid. They're going to be pretty good again. That is typical of how the conversations go about the defensive tackles. They get overlooked when they do their job, but they did it well last year, and they're all back. That is it for quarter three. We still have the rest of the defense to look at. We'll do that when we come back. We've had such a great response to our F-45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F-45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F-45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F-45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're doing our positional review of the entire Penn State football team. And Landon, I think the linebacker position has probably changed as much as any position group going into this season. Obviously, Curtis Jacobs has moved on. Abdul Carter with the position move. And we also have this idea of running a 4-2 base defense where there's only two linebackers on the field, even in their base defense. A lot of changes. I think what we know is Kobe King in the middle. Tony is going to come in as the other linebacker starters, but I think it's the rest of the linebackers that we don't know about.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there, Jim. Like you said, Tom Allen came in and said, how can I play this defense to their strengths? And we'll get into the safeties in a second, but that was getting three safeties on the field at once. And what that does is kind of takes one away from somewhere. You take that away from an outside linebacker. Well, now Abdul Carter was one of those outside linebackers. He moves down to DN. It's an easy fix. You run a 4-2 defense. So now you got Kobe King, who is the most underrated guy on this defense, in my opinion, just always at the top of the tackle sheet and comes up and makes solid tackles, create a forced fumble here or there. We know what we get from Kobe. Tony Rojas, can he take that, I think, similar position to Danai, had a great year, had some really big impacts. Can he take that next step? Because now he's that guy in the middle of that defense to rely on and have a huge second year. And then you start to talk about that depth a little bit. There's Keon Wiley, there's Kevion Keys, there is Dom DeLuca, who we love here on the show, my roommate, one of my best friends, who Tom Allen recently just said in an interview is just a madman and has completely set the tone for this defense, who is someone who's been a special teams captain for 2 years now, coming back. So I do think that depth is there. Who is going to emerge? I think that's kind of up for grabs, and that's up for summer camp. Who is going to grind it out? Because, you know, when you're running a 4-2 defense, you are going to have to spell these linebackers. Linebacker is not a position where you play the entire game. You are going to rotate, and other guys that are that second-team linebacker, they're going to see anywhere from 10 to 12 reps a game. So I think that those secondary guys in the linebacker position are very important. So it should be interesting to see who emerges the most. I'm going to be biased and say I think it's Dom DeLuca, but it's not even just off of my bias. Everybody talks about his work ethic, his leadership, his detail of the knowledge of the game. So I do think that's kind of the third guy we see step up a little bit. And then also Tamir Robinson in there for Kobe King. I think we start to see a little bit of a lean away from Tyler Elsden as that secondary middle linebacker, and Tamir Robinson coming in, starting to get a little bit older and get his feet under him a little bit. I'm excited for him to get some real, like I said, 10 to 12 reps a game behind Kobe King and really start to learn that position, because if Kobe King doesn't decide to come back next year, we are thin at that middle linebacker position. That is someone who could step up.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about this 4-2 defense a lot, but we forget that might be just be the base formation with three safeties. You might have an extra cornerback sometimes because you need them to cover in the slot. there might still be situations where you use three linebackers. If it's a running down or a running team, you might still need to do that. So I don't think it's like, okay, that's it, end of discussion. You'll always have three safeties on the field. We keep forgetting how this team in the last couple of years, I always said, Landon, it was like there were 20 starters on the defense the way they rotated players in.
Yeah, you know, you're dead on there, Jim. It's definitely it's down oriented. Is it, you know, first and 10? Is it second and 3? I can almost guarantee that there won't be three safeties on the field when it's, you know, second and 2, third and 2, third and 4. That just won't happen. So you're absolutely right. We are going to see another linebacker in there. And my question is, you know, I know Abdul is fully playing defensive end, but depending on how Jameel Lyons develops, I'm so high on him, and it sounds like everybody in the facility is high on him. Do you, when it is third down, do you start to make Abdul a little bit more of a kind of DN slash off-ball backer where it's that, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker look where they might drop a little bit, but, you know, they're mainly a rusher, but they play a little bit in coverage. Could we see that with Abdul, get Jameel on the field, and then you have, you know, your best situation? Because my question is, if you don't put Jameel on the field, Abdul's still in a defensive end who isn't a great run stopper. He's a little bit lighter. Are you putting yourself at a disadvantage by then putting a linebacker that isn't exactly, you know, fully up to par instead of dropping Abdul back into kind of his natural linebacker position and plugging in a defensive end that I think is more than capable? So I think there's a lot of ways to play with it for Tom Allen. Excited to see how he handles that. But I do think you're right. There is a lot of moving pieces for that third linebacker position that'll play maybe probably about 50% of the time. I think that 4-2 will be our base. But I think that's only about 50% of the time there's going to be that third linebacker. And then even behind that depth, Tamir Robinson, Kevion Keys, all those guys, you know, how are they going to step into that role when they get 10 to 12 reps a game? Or if someone gets hurt, I mean, that is a reality. So let's see how Tom Allen prepares these guys in this linebacking room.
And I'll be curious to see. I always love you called it the seven up, where there were seven men on the line of scrimmage. When you start talking about having Jameel Lyons in along with a couple other defensive ends, and you allow Abdul Carter maybe to freelance a little bit, I'm hoping they still do that type of thing now with Tom Allen. All right, let's talk about the defensive backs since we were talking about the safeties and three of them being out there. I think it's top heavy now, but you've got three really good safeties, three safeties that can be starters. Well, and the way you do that is you run a 4-2 defense where you do have three safeties out there. I guess the only question I have is just how good can that group be, Landon?
Yeah, I think it can easily be the best safety room in the country. I think Kevin Winston will say goodbye to Penn State after this year. I think he will be a first-round pick. He is an unbelievable talent. Jalen Reed will probably also be gone after this year. And then Zaki Wheatley, who is a ball hawk. And I think Zaki Wheatley got pushed to that second string safety. And it was like, man, how can this happen? He is just, when he steps on the field, he creates turnover after turnover. And we saw it had the only turnover in the spring game, or one, maybe there was, might've been two, but the only real turnover that was called a true turnover, just always around the ball. So I think Tom Allen came in and said, dude, we cannot leave this guy on the sideline. How do we change this? So like you said, that's how you do it. You kind of create that base defense to be a 4-2 defense. And I don't know, Jim, it gets me excited knowing that Jalen Reed, Zaki Wheatley, and Kevin Winston are going to be on the field at once. Because I think you have Kevin Winston, who has these natural instincts, and he is going to come up and make tackles at the line of scrimmage. We saw that a lot, where it seemed like he was just closing in on these ball carriers at an unbelievable rate. Jalen Reed is kind of the jack of all trades, where he'll create a play. Saw that in Michigan State and a couple other places. But he is going to make a tackle. He will punish a guy. He'll put someone down. And then, like I said, Zaki Wheatley creating a ton of turnovers and being that ball hawk that you need back there, to really long dude that is going to scare these quarterbacks from throwing. How good can they be? I think they can completely change the complexion of this defense and take them far and beyond what they would be if they didn't make this change to this three safety rotation. So I'm really excited. I will say, looking forward, we don't need to look forward right now. I am a little nervous how that looks next year. I do think Jalen Reed and Kevin Winston are both gone and are both top three round talents for sure. So interesting to see how that's going to shake up afterwards, losing King Mack and a couple other guys. But that's for the future. Let's enjoy probably what is our best position group right now. Not probably, it is our best position group, them and tight ends. And it should be fun because the safeties and the tight ends go against each other every day. So they're even getting each other even better. So really exciting for that safety group. And I think a group that this defense can depend on.
Well, you talk about what might happen with the safeties in another year in the 2025 season when you lose most of the safety room. Well, guess what? That's what we've got to talk about with the cornerbacks, where you lost pretty much the entire cornerback room. All three, the three top cornerbacks have all moved on. So it was a complete redo. And not coincidentally, this is where James Franklin hit the transfer portal. But we've gotten used to 2 years ago, it was Joey Porter and Kalen King. Last year, it was Kalen King and Johnny Dixon. Do we feel like we have that caliber of cornerback? We saw a lot from A.J. Harris in the spring game. Do we feel that much confidence with him and Cam Miller, say?
Yeah, I don't think we can answer that yet. You know, we brought in A.J. Harris, Jalen Kimber, two guys that are a little bit different. One's a little bit more of a veteran and played a lot of games. The other one, a little bit younger. Both really talented guys. So, it is how can Terry Smith develop these guys? I think that is first the big question, where we saw Johnny Dixon came in pretty raw, developed the heck out of him. We got a really talented guy. Unfortunately, sad he kind of got injured throughout the process, went undrafted, but someone who a lot of people expected to go above Kalen King. So I think that we are in good hands as far as the person we have coaching them up. I think that is sometimes underestimated how important that is. I do think it is good that we put a couple young cats in a tough position early on, putting Zion Tracy and Cam Miller starting in a big New York Six Peach Bowl against probably the best passing attack in the entire nation. So I think that was, hard for them, but I think that was a really good lesson to put them in. And we've talked about this. Zion Tracy and Cam Miller got picked on, and they kind of got this rep of, hey, we should really be worried about these cornerbacks next year. But from what I saw, and I've watched this bowl game a couple times over, I'm really not too worried. And I think Cam Miller is especially going to be an elite talent. There was a lot of times where Jackson Dart was just putting these balls in. It was elite placement. It was Cam Miller was in good position. He was ready to defend. And these wide receivers were making unbelievable plays on the ball. And Cam Miller just wasn't able to make a great play on the ball, but it was always in good position and someone who has great work ethic. So I look for Cam Miller and A.J. Harris to really be those two main guys. And I think we got some guys behind them, but I do not think it is going to be what we had last year, but the safeties can make up for that.
All right. Thank you very much, Landon. That was a great positional review. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.